enjoyed a Bible conference at Cannon Beach last week. We left Sunday after church and we got back last night. And so we're fresh and ready to go. But it was really great. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, I don't know if any of you have heard of him. He was pastor for 36 years at Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And he's got a full schedule of speaking engagements now and an expositor of the word that we really appreciated. And I wanted to especially to get back to spend Mother's Day here with you all, and would like to grant that kind of a desire and wish you each a happy Mother's Day. And I trust today will encourage you, as you always find, I'm sure, encouragement from the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 31, oh, you knew we were going to go there? Oh, well, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. Greg Alexander is going to come and read the scripture for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we live in a country where women can have a place in community and churches and homes that dignify them, and they lend dignity to everyone else around them. I thank you that as we go to your word today, that you would plant in our hearts that encouragement and the boldness to continue to be the people you've called us out to be. So we pray that your blessing would be upon the word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, while you're in Proverbs, I'd like you to go to chapter 1. That section is often read and then argued in Proverbs chapter 31. Not everybody does everything. Not every lady does everything that the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 does. We're all gifted differently. But as the scripture opens up in Proverbs, there's a couple things that I ran across. One of them was right at the very beginning, verse 7, 8, and 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And I got to thinking about that as I was reading through the rest of Proverbs. And Proverbs, for the ladies in particular, and it's beneficial for all of us, but the ladies in particular, I was thinking of in reading through this. And here and in chapter 6, it talks about a mother's instruction, a mother's teaching. And I thought, what are they going to teach? And then the wise woman builds up her house, but the foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And it talks about wise people and what they do and how they conduct their wisdom to somebody else. Well, how do we do that? What is it that's important? And of course, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is most important of all. And mothers, in particular, I think have an advantage over anybody else in this world. Unless it's perhaps grandmothers. And but sitting down and having the rapport with young children as they're growing up, to conduct their thoughts, bring their thoughts in line with what the Bible says and point them to the Savior. But as with the, I went and visited my dad. Kathy and I, for our conference, we were out at Cannon Beach on the Oregon coast, and it was over at noon on Thursday. I could have been home earlier, except we had family to see. And so we visited with Kathy's sister in Scappoose, and while there, I went up to Battle Creek or Battleground, Washington, to see my dad. And just to let you know, there wasn't much communication there. He didn't know who I was. So, But while there, the young lady, there's a couple that just, they have two young children. And Adele and I visited quite a bit while we sat with Dad. And turns out that they were brought up in the Ukraine. His name is Slav, and a Ukrainian. And the two of them grew up there, and so they were educated in the Russian ways and so on. But there was something that she started talking about, and she observed the dilemma of Christian parents as the government schools promote and accelerate ungodly practices. And she asked, what will we do when our kids are school-aged? They're solid believers, but they see the ominous dark clouds of militant secularism taking the school system in Washington. It's not limited to Washington, is it? But the storm has been brewing for years. We may think that its success is imminent. That is only one front that the parents must be prepared for. What I have to share this morning is a story from the Bible that can help all of us stand in the midst of any emotional or spiritual storm, and we can pass on the wisdom of the scriptures that I would hope mothers can take a hold of, grandmothers can take a hold of it, fathers, young people, grandfathers can take a hold of the lesson that we find in Matthew chapter 14. I'm going there because this is one of the things that Dr. Lutzer spoke on, and it spoke to me. And so in my struggling, Kathy saw my notebook of Proverbs and all the things going on, and I don't think she thought I could make anything out of that. And so I'm taking her word for it. And we're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And it begins in verse 22. And I appreciate Greg reading in Proverbs 31 because it gives us a bent toward mothers, the virtuous woman, and what that lady was able to do. But this one is bent another direction, and it's the direction of the Lord Jesus. Jesus with his disciples out on the stormy sea. You see the heading in the NIV, it says Jesus walks on water. So what's the context of that? What should be communicated from this? Verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Now what I'd like to do through this is use the major points that Dr. Lutzer used, so they're not mine originally. He thought through this, and I agreed. I thought, that is good. And if it's good for him to preach one time, it's good to preach a second time. And so I'd like to pass them on to you. What was the dilemma of the disciples? They're out on the lake, and if you note this, there are seven lessons to get from this, but this is their situation, first of all. They're out on the lake, and the wind was against them. They couldn't get anywhere. They couldn't go where they wanted to go. And they were in the middle of a problem. They had a dilemma. They could not beat the storm. So here are seven lessons to help us understand and survive the storms. Lessons that we are to learn because we go through storms, but lessons that we are to teach. You got that? I'm not telling anybody this so that you can say, I know that. But so that you can say, I will tell that. I'm going to pass this on. This is something that the Bible unloads for us, opens up for us. It's something for us to pass on. First of all, the storm came to the disciples when they were obedient to Christ. Can you get that lodged in your mind? When we are obedient to Christ, what do we expect to happen? Smooth sailing, don't we? I'm obeying. It's smooth. On our way out to Cannon Beach, we drove along. Well, we went down the gorge and everything, but along the Columbia River. I grew up for a portion of my life along the Columbia River, and there weren't very many days that were like the one we drove on. You could look out and see the reflection of the Washington side from Oregon. It was like glass. It was calm, smooth. Not everybody liked that. I did, because usually we drive with a strong west wind that we drive into, and then when we come home, it switched to the east. And we drive against the wind coming east. But there were people that were parked along the Columbia River that weren't happy. They are the windsurfers, and there was no wind for a week. It was still calm out there in eastern Oregon when we came home. But the disciples were wishing it was like glass, but they were obeying Christ. What did Jesus tell them to do? Get in the boat and go to the other side. Can't. I can't. I'm obeying. I'm doing the best I can, but I can't. And in rowing against the waves, they were stuck. You know what? The wind and the waves were created by Christ. Really? You mean storms that come into my life, into your lives, who is the sustainer of all things? Jesus is. He sustains all things by the word of his power, by his powerful word. When they were out there on the boat and they couldn't make headway against the wind, who created that? Christ did. The storms in our life, I hope people get over this. We are so quick to say the devil did it. I'm in a battle against the devil. Well, we are, but not everything that comes our way is against God, against God's purposes, and is a storm for us. It may be that Christ created the storm. He's the creator of all things. But he had chosen the very best way to teach his disciples. Ah. Get that jotted down in your mental notebook. The storms that come to us through God's hand. Nothing comes to us unless God ordains it. He says, that's okay. The storms that come to us through God's hand are intended to teach us something. And this is a lesson the disciples found was going to be a lesson that they needed, that they wouldn't learn except going through the storm. The second thing is, storms are meant to remind us of the promises of God. The storms come so that we start bringing up Scripture. What did God say? Get our eyes off of things and onto God. God, what did you say about my relationship to you in storms? What did Jesus told his disciples to do? He told them, get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. What were they afraid of? What do you suppose they were afraid of in the wind and the waves? They weren't going to make it. They're going down. Now, it'd be really hard for John to write the book of Revelation from the bottom of the sea. It'd be really hard for any of the disciples to accomplish his purpose on the day of Pentecost if they'd gone down in the lake. If he told them to go to the other side of the sea, are they going to get there? Yes. His command was something that he could fulfill, that he was going to fulfill. His command to us in obeying him, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what was he going to do? He will direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. He'll get you through this. Trust in the Lord. We heard a story the last meal or the last evening. I forget which meal it was. And Don and Loretta were there from wherever they were from. It doesn't matter. And they were older. You know, when you go to a retirees conference, there's a lot of people older than me. And kind of like coming to church, there's some of you that are older than me here too. But Don and Loretta were telling the story, and he pretty much told it. He and his sons went out on a boat on a lake. They had a job to do, and it was in time of Christmas, I think, and around that time of the year. And they went out, and he told about, it was a longer story, but I'll shorten it. He told about how their boat was leaking, and then it tipped up and went down. They had life jackets on, but a government official came later and took the temperature of the water, and it was 37 degrees. And so they were, he said they had a half a mile to swim, and he doesn't know how to swim. The life jacket was on, but it limits your motion in some ways, and he didn't know how to swim. And yet he made it to the shore. And it was quite a story. You just, wow, as he told it. His remark was, an angel carried him. Brought him to the shore. And he did have hypothermia, but he didn't die. He recovered. And the ones with him that knew how to swim didn't want to go near him, so he had to do it on his own because in the panic of the water, both of them could drown. And so he said an angel helped him. What's the promise that we can lay hold of? Isaiah chapter 41:10. And I'd like to turn back there because it has a little bit more than just that chapter or that verse. Isaiah 41:10 is one that I've marked that I claim an awful lot. The Bible says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says, do not fear, I will help you." We have a lot of songs coming out now that and sermons, messages on the radio and songs that you can get a hold of that talk about fear. What's the occasion going on now that people are so afraid? Is it different than any other season that we've gone through? But people are sure picking up, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. It's coming out in the songs, on the radio, people that are speaking. And do not fear, God says, for I am with you. Well, thirdly, so that's the second thing. First one, storms come during obedience to Christ. Secondly, storms are meant to remind us of the promises of God. Thirdly, even when we can't see Jesus, he can see us. Even when we can't see him, he can see us. He was up on the mountain praying, but he can see. The vision of the disciples was impaired. It's impaired by the darkness. They were struggling. They weren't aware of anything else going on except the water and the waves. But one of the things that we can point out, feelings are not fact. Even if we don't feel that God's present, he is. Psalm 139, perhaps you know that. And what are those verses that start off that psalm? Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand on me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. There's a song that I sang growing up in church. No, never alone. I see the lightning flashing. I hear the thunder roll. I hear the voice of my Savior. Oh, that's the important part. I'm never alone. No, never alone. And that's how Jesus met his disciples. Fourthly, Jesus comes to us at just the right time. During the fourth watch of the night, that is from 2 until 6 in the morning. So it wasn't 6 o'clock yet. It wasn't nearing 6 because the gray light would be there. But instead, he came when it was dark. Jesus came to him at just the right time because it seemed their efforts were hopeless. They were getting nowhere. One of the things that Dr. Lutzer said, and I'm mulling it over, I'm thinking about it, that sometimes God waits to answer prayer until we are desperate. Until we say, you know, that little time at breakfast when we prayed wasn't enough. Were you serious about that? Are you in prayer all day long? Because this is weighing heavy on your heart? Do you wish for company to come or to go to that you could pray with someone else because you're desperate? It's got to be answered. Is it dark enough for you to say, God, you are my only hope? I am helpless. I'm stranded out here in the middle of the storm. And it's not just Lord, I know you can take care of this, and so we trust it to you, bye. But it's almost trivial until we get desperate and say, God, if you don't step in, we're done. We're gone. Our ministry's over. Our lives are done, are finished. You've got to step in. If you have anything more for me to do, show up. In James chapter 5 and verse 16b, if you're writing things down, it says, in King James it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person, a righteous man, avails much. It has results. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. He responds. We met a lady by the name of Jane Dunn, whose husband, I'm not sure, her first husband, they were married 46 years. which is a little spooky for Kathy and me. But he died at 46 years of marriage. And she met another man named Chuck. And they married and lived 5 years together, and each one died of cancer. And so she was at the conference, and they came over, she and a lady friend that was with her, they came over and visited with us quite a lot. And what we found out was that God assured her that he wasn't finished with her yet. That God cared for her when her husband was dying, and she was holding his hand, she said, and he died there. But she said, I looked around the room, and there were angels. I wasn't there. I didn't see them. And I wasn't there when my sister-in-law, Cindy, was dying at the age of 33. And she was dying. And her mom, whose name was, I asked again about that, Dixie, was in the hospital room with her. And she said, Mom, can you see the angels? And Dixie looked around and said, no! Were they there? Yes. God knows what we need, what assurances we need. He knows when we pray intensely how to answer. When we're desperate, he knows how to answer. So Jesus comes to us at just the right time. Fifth thing, what we fear might be Jesus in disguise. It's his way of showing up. They were on the water. They looked out and saw something. What is that? I don't know of anything that walks on the water during the storm. What is it? And the storm actually held Jesus. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw Jesus walking on the water. We may not recognize Jesus' presence in tragedies or disruptions in our life. They couldn't comprehend the Savior where they were. But what did he say? Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The conclusion of that point is, in acceptance of God's will, in God's activity, there is peace. We allow God to settle our hearts. And God, this didn't take you by surprise. You've said that yourself, I'm sure. This didn't take you by surprise. But not only did it not take you by surprise, but you're here. You're in this storm that I'm going through. The sixth thing is, the water that threatens to be over your head is under Jesus' feet. What they were afraid of drowning in, he was walking on. Jesus was undisturbed by the waves. He took Peter over the waves, and he said it was a matter of faith. When Peter fell in, it said, he prayed the quickest prayer we've ever run across here. Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Hey, man, you're almost, you had it. But Jesus is above all our storms. It's beyond our finite minds. So again, the encouragement is to look to him, not to the enemy that distracts. With Jesus, they arrived at their destination. And the seventh point is, give your storms to Jesus and rest in the purposes of God. Give them to him. And what does he do? He makes sure his promise your obedience to his promise is accomplished. He brings to mind the promises of God so that you're refreshed spiritually. And when we can't see Jesus, he can see us. He'll come to us at the right time, meet that need. What we fear might be Jesus in disguise, and the water that threatens to be over your head is under Jesus' feet. These are lessons we can all grasp in the storms and develop stronger faith. Our loved ones also need to take hold of the love and care that God has for his people and learn to go to him first of all with the storms that come this way, because the Lord Jesus is always caring for us. So whether you're mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, young person, something to lay hold of, pass it on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a Savior. We have one who accompanies us through all of our storms, if we want to call them that, the trials, the tribulations. And sometimes when we're tempted by things, when things are going well. But we thank you that you love us, that you provide for us, and we can trust you every day. Thank you for folks here. We thank you for the ladies. Pray that you'd especially bless their hearts today. In Jesus' name.